Good morning. Do you know Jonah's story? Y'all know Jonah's story, right? Well, he was a prophet, and from the scripture today, you see that he was told by God to go to Nineveh and to speak a word of warning there. But what happened? I hear a lot of murmuring, but nothing distinct. Yes, you're right. He went the opposite way, didn't he? We never do that, do we? So if we, you know me, if you want to keep your Bibles open there, we're just going to look at a couple verses here. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish. Now, I looked at a map that I could put up here on the screen. And if you can picture the Mediterranean Sea in your mind, all right, Nineveh is northeast of where he is, and he went straight west, or tried to go straight west, almost to the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. All right, so not only was he not going where God wanted him to go, he was trying to get way away, right, from where God was directing them. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to speak of judgment to the Ninevites. He would have rather God just wiped Nineveh off the map, right? That was his wish and prayer, quite honestly. So he went in the opposite direction. He was running from God. And the rest of this verse says that he got to Joppa and he paid the fare for a boat to Tarshish. He paid a fare. Have you ever noticed that when we insist on living life with our terms, there's always a fare to be paid? You ever notice that? It costs us something to run from God, doesn't it? Let's take another look at Scripture, because something pretty incredible happens in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. So here we have Jonah, who got on this ship. The captain and all the people that were on the ship were innocent bystanders, really, of what was taking place. And because Jonah was doing something that essentially was just the opposite of what God wanted him to do, the Bible says that the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and it was so strong that the ship threatened to break apart. You know, the first time I remember thinking about being called into ministry was around the fifth or sixth grade. We had an awesome youth pastor. And actually, 80 was a good day in the church that I grew up in, and on Sunday morning, right? And he was a student, what's called in the United Methodist system, a student local pastor. So he's a local pastor, but he's going to seminary to try to understand and learn theology and things like that. And his emphasis was really on the youth. In our little church, he grew that youth group something fierce. Well, I can't remember when it was, how old I was, but he left. He graduated from seminary and had to be appointed to a church that could support him. And after he left, I soon lost track of that calling. As many of you know, before Jamie and I went into ministry, I was a chemist and Jamie was a high school vocal music teacher. And really, we had a great life for a newly married couple. We still were involved with church. Obviously, we worshiped every Sunday. We tithed. But two or three evenings a month, we would go and we would sing concerts in different churches around that four-state area: Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri. We lived in Miami at the time, by the way. Miami, Oklahoma. And so we would sing these at these concerts, and it seemed to reignite that calling that I had felt the years before. Music has a tendency, Hans Christian Andersen says, where words fail, music speaks. And it really does open up a deep level, something deep down in your soul that allows God to work in your life. And I soon began to understand God's call upon my life again, but the more I ran the other way, or maybe I should say instead of run, I really didn't run, the more I kept doing what I was doing. You follow what I'm saying? The more I kept doing what I was doing, the more I noticed things would happen. And it seemed that from my perspective, God kept trying to get my attention. Does anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? It seemed like God, I started talking about a wooing. It seemed like God was wooing me in this direction, and I was going this direction. And it seems like the more I quote unquote ran, the more I paid the fare. If you were to think upon your life, have you ever noticed that for yourself? Now, for you, it may not be to go into the ministry, the pulpit ministry, but all of us are ministers who claim Jesus Christ upon our life. Amen? But has there been something that doesn't, quite honestly, when it comes to God's calling on our life, it doesn't have to be what you might define as ministry. It might be something in your own life that would open up what God has done for another person. But has there been something that God has wanted you to do, and yet you seem to find an excuse to go the opposite direction? Is there something now, maybe, in your life that has it's just been gnawing at you, and maybe just reading about Jonah this morning opened up your mind, and you're like, oh, wow, wait a minute. That's what that is. And maybe you have been fighting against that. So one question I have for you today is, what is your Nineveh? And quite honestly, what is your Tarshish? You understand what I'm saying? What is it that God is calling you to do, and what is the direction that you are heading? Maybe it's something as simple as coming to worship, or inviting someone to come to worship, or to Tuesday night Soup and Scripture, Bible study, Financial Peace University, Monday morning Bible study. What is it? It could be something that might be as simple as that. Maybe it's as big as a prophetic work like Jonah, and you are to tell the town of Warsaw that God is tired of us turning our backs on Him. Maybe that's your word. What fare are you paying, folks? For a while, I chose the road to Tarshish, and I've seen others choose that road too. And I'm sure if you were to think about it, you would see other people, and maybe yourself, that have taken that road. And I've noticed that sometimes it can be expensive to live life on our own terms. Amen? Sometimes it can be very expensive with little regard for God and His commands. Something else that I've noticed is that God will forgive us when we repent. God will not remember our sins anymore. But God does not erase the consequences, does He? Have you ever noticed that? Anyone? It costs something to run from God, and sometimes the price tag is higher than we ever could have imagined. I've noticed in these situations too, in my own life, as well as people that I have, been a pastor of and seen around, even people I didn't know, but I saw on the news, when people ignore God, that many times we push blame onto someone else or even onto God, don't we? When things happen in our life that we didn't think were right. But honestly, we really should be looking in the mirror, shouldn't we? You see, God told us that we were supposed to go this direction, but we chose this direction. And then we wonder why life isn't going exactly the way we thought it should. You see, the reality is that in all of our actions, or lack of action, there are consequences, aren't they? And this is hard for us to hear, isn't it? But if all of us are thinking people in this day and age, if you were to think on your life and on other people's life, you would see that all of our actions or inactions have consequences. When we make a decision to become a Christian or not, when we make a decision to follow God's calling on our lives or not, when we make a decision to enter into relationships that are good, healthy relationships or not, when we make a decision to look at pornography or not, when we make a decision to use tobacco products or not, when we make a decision to raise our children with consistent love or not, etc., 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 there are consequences, aren't there? And God does not eliminate the consequences to our actions, good or bad. Now, we never complain about when God doesn't eliminate the good consequences, do we? Do we? But boy, it's tough to receive those other consequences, isn't it? Whenever we don't do what we are supposed to do, or do something that we're not. You see, God forgives our sins. God loves us and supports us, but we live with the consequences. God works with us through difficult times. God cares for us and weeps with us and holds us and keeps us, but God won't take away the consequences of our actions or lack of actions. These consequences are to teach us and others what to do and what not to do. And many times, quite honestly, because we refuse to listen otherwise, don't we? I believe that when thinking people really ponder these things, we understand. Whether we want to admit it or not, right? We understand. We can see it. And the amazing thing about God is that it's never too late. We can always turn and follow His calling. You understand that repentance, if we take that back to the Greek, the actual meaning is to turn to God. To repent is to turn to God. And we can always repent. We can always turn and follow God's calling. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a song that a group, Jamie and I, we actually followed. We went to several of their concerts and we used to listen to them all the time. It was a Christian group called Truth. And some of you may have heard of the group. And essentially what it was upstart Christian singers. And this gentleman, which I can't remember his name, he financed. Actually, we tried out for the group. Now that I think about it, I'd forgotten about that. But they would finance and take the group, the individual Christian singers, on tours, and they would do concerts all over the place. And their name was Truth. But anyway, they sang a song that was called "Living Life Upside Down." And here's the chorus of that song. What if we've fallen to the bottom of a well, thinking we've risen to the top of a mountain? What if we're knocking at the gates of hell, thinking we're heaven bound? What if we spend our lives thinking of ourselves when we should have been thinking of each other? What if we reach up and touch the ground to find we're living life upside down? George Gallup Jr. and his associates in their book, Who Do Americans Say That I Am?, reveals that a huge majority of Americans consider themselves Christians. However, Gallup summarizes some of his conclusions like this. Quote, We boast Christianity as our faith, but many of us have not bothered to learn the basic biblical facts of this religion. Many of us dutifully attend church, but this act appears to have made us no less likely than our unchurched brethren to engage in immoral and unethical behavior. We say we are Christians, but sometimes we do not show much love towards those who do not share our particular religious perspective. We say we rejoice in the good news that Jesus brought, but we are often strangely reluctant to share the gospel with others. In a typical day, the average person stays in front of the TV set nearly 25 times longer than in prayer. We say we are believers, but perhaps we are only assenters. What does our lifestyle, what do our yeses and nos, what does our giving, what does our way that we treat others, what does the amount of time we spend in prayer, what does the amount of our time spent in service, what does the way we think about others say about our priority? About our church, the rest of us. Just a side note here. You understand, as someone who worships in this congregation, that your opinions, your activity and non-activity, the words that you say, your care of others all reflect on the person sitting next to you. And those who worship elsewhere, the words that we say reflect upon Christianity as a whole. The things that we do or don't do reflect upon Christianity as a whole. So what does our lifestyle, our yeses and nos, what does our giving, what does the way we treat others, the amount of time we spend in prayer, the amount of time spent in service, the way we think about others, what does that say about our priorities, our church, about Christianity? And this is not meant to make anyone feel down on themselves, although I hope that it is challenging you. You see, to me, these words are saying that God felt you and I were important enough that Jesus died for you and me on the cross. Amen? Jesus wants us to spread that joy and hope that we have been given. Now, if I say that, what am I not saying? If we don't spread that joy and hope that we've been given, what are we doing? What is that called? When we turn left, when God calls us to turn right. Jesus wants us to give that love away that each of us has in our soul. Jesus wants us to give our lives, our time, and our money to those who are less fortunate. Jesus wants our lives to reflect what we say we believe. Do we really believe what we believe? Do we really believe what we believe? Folks, what if we are living our life upside down? Do you remember the song? What if we fall into the bottom of a well, thinking we've risen to the top of the mountain? What if we're knocking at the gates of hell, thinking we're heaven bound? What if we spend our lives thinking of ourselves when we should have been thinking of each other? What if we reach up and touch the ground to find we're living life upside down? You see, Jesus wants us to follow Him and turn this world's values on their heads and serve instead of being served, to live what we claim we believe, to teach people what it means to love each other, to bring healing and hope in Jesus' name to people who have none. So folks, I'm asking you this morning, what fare are you paying? And I'm inviting you to come on. Turn and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Holy God, we celebrate You this day. All of the words that You give us, the ways of life that You call us to, the actions that You call us to, are so challenging sometimes. They may be so different than our culture says is right or good. Dear God, as pastor of this church, I ask for Your powerful anointing to be upon us. We love You, God, but sometimes we don't understand what that means. We love You, God, but sometimes we're not willing to give of our lives to show Your love to others. We love You, God, but sometimes if it costs us, we don't want to go that direction. Holy God, I ask You to bother us this day, to anoint this church in such a way that we are bothered. We are moved, God, to do Your will, to proclaim Your word to our friends and our neighbors, our workmates, to people that we don't like very much. Give us the courage, God. Give us the courage, Lord, to do Your will so that we're not living this life upside down. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.